Gila Davav Med Aleph, Tosas de Rimaschel, Shetova Riyasa. Just to review the background in the Gemara, after an initial opinion voiced by Rabbi Yochanan that the biblical cities mentioned in Sefer Yoshua of Rakas and Chamas are identified as follows, that Chamas is Tveria and Rakas is Tzipori, so the Gemara rejects that view. And maintains that Rakas is actually Tveria, the famous Tiberias. So the Gemara, a little later on in the Daf, has two opinions, as between those two names, the biblical name of Rakas and the more recent name of Tveria. So which is the real name and which is some kind of kinui because of some quality of the city? So the opinion that Tosis is commenting on is the opinion of different Gersos in the Gemara, whether it's Rava or Rabba. So we'll assume it's Rabba based on the comments on the side. That Rakas Shema, Volominik Rashma Tveria, Shetova Riyasa. That his real name is Rakas, is mentioned in the Tanakh, in Yeshua. And the Tveria is some kind of nickname, based on the fact, Tiveria, language of Tov Roi, or Tovariyasa. So Tosa just elaborates, explains that concept. What do you mean, Tovariyasa? That its site is good. Shehoyu Sham Gino Sufardesim. Because there were gardens and orchards there in the city, surrounding the city, perhaps both. So it was a very beautiful city, hence Tovariyasa. The comments of Yaakov Emden, the Goes Yaivitz in the back of the Gemara, notes that historically it's well known that the city of Tveria, or in English Tiberias, was built up or rebuilt up by Herod and was named in honor of his friend, the Caesar Tiberius. So he just points out, why did the Gemara seek some other explanation? And he points out that this is not uncommon in Shas to take Greek or Roman words and give them some kind of Hebraic or Aramaic twist to kosherize them more, especially since Tiberius was not from the great Tzaddikim. Tosis Divya Maschil, Dechol HaNotel, Mimcha Belo Domim, Ein Moel. Again, to review the background of the Gemara had pointed out that Zevulun, in the bracha of Moshe Rabbeinu to Zevulun, so it states, Amim har yukro usfune tmunei chol, that Zevulun was given a gift of things that are hidden in the sand. So the Gemara quotes a braisa quoted by Rav Yosef, which breaks up the phrase into three words, each of which is referring to a separate gift. Tanya Rav Yosef, Sfune Zechilazon, that Sfune, Rashi explains language of Safun, that it's a very significant, refers to the Chilazon, which the Tchelos was made out of, which is a very, very expensive dye. Of course, used for tzitzis as well as in Yoni Mikdash, but is also stam, a very expensive dye for clothing, etc. And tmune zotaris, tmune, the hidden item, it's a reference to some fish. Rashi translates it interestingly as tuna fish. And chol zos chuchis levana, the sand from which white glass was made, a very special high quality kind of sand from which high quality glass would be able to be made. So it was Zvulun, who had a border on the seashore, so both in terms of the seashore itself concerning the sand, as well as special gifts under the sea, namely the chilazon and the special fish, according to Rashi, the tuna fish, were gifts that were granted to him from which he would become the tribe would become very wealthy. So, within that discussion, the Gemara points out that although Zvulun was complaining that he didn't have what he felt was a sufficiently fertile agricultural land. So the Rabbeinu Shem told him that everyone's going to need you because you have these two great gifts, and everyone will come to you for the tcheles and the special glass that your seashore will produce. So then, as Zvulun says, me modieni. Perhaps people will the simple pshat, the other perushim, but the simple pshat is that people will take it from me and they won't pay. So who's going to tell me about that in order to pay me for these various wonderful gifts that they shouldn't be pilfered from me? So the Gemara answers to that continuing along Moshe's bracha, Sham yizbechu zivchei tzedek. So on a pshat level, that's a reference to Har HaMoriah, that they're going to bring korbanos there. And on the drash level, it is a comparing to Zivchei Tzedek. As the Gemara says, Simen ze yehe lecha kol anot lamemcha b'lo damim, ein amol b'frakmatish shelo klum. That somehow the idea of Zivchei Tzedek, of righteous korbanos, teaches us that anyone who's going to steal these items from you without paying is not going to succeed in business. So Tosis explains that the connection to Korbanos is as follows. The Cholanot L'Mumcha B'Lo Domim Ein Mo'el, the Chsiv, Sham Yibzichu Zivchei Tzedek, as it's quoted in Gemara, quoting the Psukim, the Gezel Lo Mahani B'Zebach. That's the key to understanding this, that the stolen Korbanos are not effective. You're not Yotzei. As the Gemara in Sukkah, the Aflamid, among other places, quoted in some versions of the Gemara and the Rashi, the Mitzayin, this Gemara in Sukkah, that Gezel, a stolen animal, is not Mechaper. It's a mitzvah b'Aveira, and various Psukim in Yeshaya and in Malachi speak about that explicitly. Rashi references it as well, gives a similar pshat to Tosis. Rashi explains, Kasher Osir Gezel Ba'ola, just like Gezel is Osir concerning a carbon, Kach lo Yigzelo Mimcha Klum. They're not going to steal from you at all, just like the Karbanos have to be B'tzedek, so too, they won't steal from you. And if they do attempt to do so, they won't succeed in business. So Tosis leaves it vague. Rashi explains that means that the blue they try to make from the snails from the chilazon wouldn't work out, and the glass that they make won't be able to be produced from the sand either. Tosfos leaves it vague, perhaps implying that they'll fail in all business ventures, but either way, very similar to Rashi's pshat, that the comparison to korbanos, that the gezel does not work. Tosis Dira Maschil, Tratios, Vikirkisos. Here there are various Girsos quoted in the Duke Sofrim and other parallel Gemaras as to exactly what the first word should be. So the Bach actually changes the Dira Maschil to Tratios, leaving out the word Kirkisos for now. Because first Tosis comments on the Tratrios or Teatros, which is another Girsa, we'll see later, probably the more correct one, and then he comments on Kirkasos. So Tosis says as follows, Yesh Meforshim, again according to the Bach's emendation, referring to Tratrios, or Bote Avoduzora, that these are houses of idol worship. Umechana Oson Tartachi, apparently, Tosis had a slightly different gears as well. Machanosan Tartachi, Loshen Cherpa, that's a language of disgrace. So, hence the Chachamim, obviously the worshippers of Orza themselves, did not use that term, but Chazal, as the Gemara in Megillah elsewhere points out later on, that you're not supposed to make fun of anything except for Vorzara, and you're supposed to use derogatory terms for it. So Chazal used a derogatory term for the base of Vorzara. The Kirkisos, Tos explains, Ratzalomer base Akise, that Kirkisos refers to a bathroom. Again, a term used to impugn and denigrate Vorzara. Beloshan Arav in Arabic. It's the term for basic Issa. So what emerges then is that the Gemara is telling us that the Barthi Avodah Zarah, which are referred to ignominiously by Chazal as a house of disgrace and a lavatory, will convert, the ones in Edom and Rome will convert in the sense that the Sar Yehuda, the princes of Judah, will lamed them Torah v'rabim, that they'll teach Torah to the masses. Tosis asks, v'kasha lomar, she'osan mekomos mitunafos, yachal lilmud sham Torah, that in those dirty places that people should be able to teach Torah. And again, Tosis is referring to Batei Avodah Zarah, which are referred to by Chazal as places of disgrace and bathrooms, not literally a bathroom, but that the dirty places spiritually in the sense of Avodah Zarah should be, you should be able to teach Torah there. Doesn't make sense. Interesting, important discussion mentioned by the Mogen Avraham from the Tshuva Sereim and the Tshuva Sigris Moshe on this, and many others discuss this, but converting a church to a shul, somewhat of a similar discussion about taking a base of Avodah Zarah. I think they quote this Tosis, and converting into something holy, that the Tosis views that as unseemly. Again, how Tosis would weigh in on the modern day question of converting a church into a shul is not a topic for now, but the simple reading of the Tosis is that it would be a surah that's unseemly to do that, to have holy things in a place that was originally used for Avodah Zarah. Tos continues, Alavadai l'shmama yehei v'mheir b'yameinu, that should be desolate, all the places of a false worship, speedy in our days. So rather, what then are the Tretrios and the Kirkusos? Tos gives a different shot, wrote Salomar, Batim shemes asvim sham levad shelahem, the places that they gather for their meetings. And the version of the Tosis that I have, which is the Talmud Chodesh version, so it ends there. In the standard editions of the Gemara and the Vilna Shas, it has shemes asvim sham levad shelahem ovdei avodas kachavim. So isn't that the same problem? Back to Avodah Zarah. So. But it's of the Avodas Kechavim, not La Avodas Kechavim. I mean, the of the Avodas Kechavim are the non-Jews, the ones who worship idols, but they're not going there in order to worship idols. They're going there to meet. So it's the same interpretation. In other words, the meeting places of the non-Jews, of the idolaters, they're not doing idolatry there, not serving idols there, according to Tosis's shot that he wants to accept. The meeting places will be converted to teach Torah. So that Tosis is happy. So I just did a little more research into this, and there are a few Rashis scattered throughout Shas, because this term Teatros and Kirkusos appears in a few places, in Shabbos and Ksuvis and Masecht Avodah Zarah. So Rashi in some places says that they're palaces, Paltin. And he leaves it, in Shabbos, he actually says somewhat similar to Tosis, that they gather for meetings, Beis Havad. And Rashi in Avodah Zarah says, Paltin v'chol divrein kishehen esofin l'schol kol lotzon. That they're gathering not for a meeting, but for levity and clowning around. So any English speaker would see the term, certainly, teatros, and perhaps the corrupted version, tretrios, and kirkusos, and right away identify the term theater and circus, which they point out originally from perhaps originally the Greek and later the Roman, later Latin, is these were the amphitheaters, that they had all kinds of plays and other events, entertainment, which fits very nicely with the Rashi of Avodah Zarah, the Fiyut Chesem Beis, the Schok Lalotzon. And Kirkusos, of course, circuses. An amphitheater, I think, more of an oval shape, and a circus, more of a circle shape. So indeed, the Sefer Aruch, one of the oldest dictionaries on the Gemara, so he has somewhat of a hybrid pshat. His gear says teatros, the most similar to the theater. And he quotes, indeed, in what he calls the language of, he has a certain word that I checked it up, that he uses to mean scholarly Greek, which he calls grammatica, that the theater is, as we explained, it's some kind of a place. He also refers to it as a coliseum that has bleachers. He describes it at length that, you know, so it shouldn't block the view of, you know, the chairs are arranged on a slope that each person should be able to see, which, of course, matches our modern-day definition. But earlier, he says a pshat that's very similar to the Yesh Meforshim that Tosis refers to, which actually might be quoting the Aruch, that it's a nevela, refers to some kind of carcass. Now, the Aruch doesn't say it's talking about a vorzara, but why would suddenly we be talking about a nevela? So it could be that that's what he's alluding to, similar to Tosis's first pshat, that we're referring to the Avodah Zarah as an Avela, similar to Tosis, turns to some kind of disgrace. And then later, when it comes to Kirkusos, he doesn't describe it as a bathroom, but he describes it as a drinking house. The Mustafa Aruch, which was written by a later scholar, in parentheses, explains the term the way we would explain it, based on the idea of a circus. So there was a more recent scholar by the name of Rabbi Kahut who put out something called the Aruch HaShalem, a more scholarly version of the Aruch with his own additions. Unfortunately, he moved toward the Jewish Theological Seminary. So he just doesn't understand why the Aruch gave the first pshat, because isn't it obvious that that it means amphitheater, as he himself quotes from Gematica. And the same with Kirkusos, that that should be circus rather than drinking house. Okay, Tosis presumably was not familiar with the original Latin or Greek, and he certainly didn't speak English. So is trying to guess from the context as to what it is. So he intends to mean a vad. It could very well be that Tosis maybe is alluding to what Rashi said himself about Azara, that it's a meeting place for all kinds of things. So sometimes they would meet for schok, and sometimes, just like nowadays, you could take a stadium and use it for some kind of convention. Interestingly, the Art Scroll translation quietly translates Tartios as amphitheaters and Kirkusos as circuses, and in the footnote, they note that they translated in accordance with the translation of the Aruch together with the gloss on the Aruch, putting together what we mentioned earlier, and they possibly tie it in, as they note, to the Rashi and Masechta Avodah Zarah, that it was a place of schok and latzon, of entertainment, and that quite possibly in the same places they might have also had meetings as well, which would explain the Rashi and Shabbos and the Tosis here. Many point out, just in closing this Tosis, that they felt that the common 7.5 year event of the blessed Siyum HaShas that usually takes place in Coliseums and Madison Square Garden, places that serve as circuses and as well as football fields, etc., are at least a partial fulfillment of this Gemara, where these places will ultimately be used to teach Torah. So, as Hashem, we should be zocha that all these places should be converted to Batei Medrash from here, Rabbi Yameinu. A brief addendum to the Gemara that the Tosis Adira Maschel Dechol Anot El Memchav Lo Doma Mein Moel about the Nachla of Shevet Zvulun. There's an interesting discussion concerning the inheritance of Zvulun that entails a detailed reading of the Psukim in Yeshua concerning their inheritance, plus touches upon history and archaeology as well, which begins from a pasuk in the Torah. This pasuk from the bracha of Yaakov Avinu to Zvulun, the Torah describes lechof yamim yishkon, that Zvulun dwelled on the sea, or more directly the seas. So which sea is this? So some maps draw Zvulun as having just a boundary on the Kinneret. And some have him only having a boundary on the Mediterranean, and some with both. Simple reading of the Pasuk, L'chof Yamim, would imply that it's both. Now, we know that Zvulun, of course, traded in ships. So if he was only in the Yam Kinneret, you can't really trade in ships in the Kinneret. That's you can't get into the Mediterranean Sea from there. Main trade routes are through the Mediterranean Sea. So presumably, he definitely had some kind of beachhead on the Mediterranean Sea. Interestingly, some maps have the inheritance of Zvulun as being totally landlocked, with neither a border on the Kinneret nor on the Mediterranean Sea, which indeed is the simplest reading of the Psukim in Yoshua, but that of course has to be reconciled with the Bracha of Yaakov Avinu, implying that they do have ports, or at least one port on the sea, and of course the tradition based on those Psukim that Zvulun were seafarers and traded through their sea routes and items that they bought. But not our topic for now, but part of the modern controversy concerning the identity of Chilazon and the modern day attempts at reproducing the Tcheles, so whether the Chilazon is found in the Yam Kinneret or in the Mediterranean. The most popular view nowadays, meaning the Murex trunculus, is a snail that's found in the Mediterranean, not in the Kinneret. Okay.